Bibles to the book of 2 Timothy. And we are glad that you are joining us on YouTube into our worship. Special hello to Brother Gary. We do miss you. Connor misses you this morning. I'll tell you that story later. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let every one that names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. That's one of the characteristics of a Christian. It's a part of their lifestyle. If you'll also find 1 Corinthians 15, I want us to look at that sure foundation this morning. 1 Corinthians 15. How do you respond? How do you deal with severe problems or a severe situation that comes up, a crisis, whether it be on the other side of the world that flashes across the screen? Russia has invaded Ukraine, or China's expected invasion of Taiwan, the pseudo-nation of Palestine, and their nationalized terrorist organization, Hamas, which in English means violence, their attack against civilians and women and children in Israel. How do you react to a crisis in the world? Or a national crisis, or a local emergency, or a weather event, or a crisis in your family, or even a personal crisis? How do you respond? How do you react? How do you deal with it? Here's how Paul and Silas handled it. In a Philippian jail, in a Philippian prison, and an inner prison at that, having been beaten and whipped with whips wrongfully after their clothes was ripped off, and then illegally imprisoned in chains with shackles around their ankles. The pain was unbearable. The shame and humiliation, they were bruised. And then over those bruises, their flesh was ripped open by the whips. And then they're placed in this inner prison. You can imagine the filth, the stench, the rats, the flies, the worms. It's pitch black darkness. You can't see your hand in front of your face. Their emotions were shattered. Their tear ducts had emptied, and there they lay. What happened when their testing and severe trial reached a midnight? Did they curse God and die? Did they ask God, why is this happening to me? Why have you allowed this to take place? When I was doing your will, did they ask that? Did they murmur, complain, gripe, and say it isn't fair? This isn't right. Is that what they did? No. They sang. And it wasn't just any song. It was songs of praise and thanksgiving to the Lord. You say, preacher, I could never in a million years be able to do that. And you'd be right. Because it requires a superhuman strength and power beyond ourselves. It requires the power of God, the Holy Spirit, who indwelt Paul and Silas, enabling them to do what they could have never done in and of themselves. Oh, wait. Have we forgotten that the exact same Spirit indwells us, child of God? That same strength, that same power is there available to us in any moment of need or crisis. How does God want us to respond to difficulties? How does He want us to do that? How does He want us to respond to challenges, problems, pain, injustice, tragedy, to crisis? He wants to hear us sing praises to Him. Why? Because the prisoners are hearing us too. They know this is impossible to do. They know, even in their spiritual blindness and ignorance, that only God could make that happen in a human being. So when a crisis takes place on a worldwide catastrophe scale or on an individual and personal scale, we are shaken down to an unshakable foundation of the gospel, the Christian message. So the answer to any difficulty, great or small, is the gospel. Somebody said, what is your take on what's happening in Israel and Palestine? I said, the gospel. The gospel is being carried out. Israel and the Jews are the key to the rest of the fulfilling of God's will. That's why Satan moves his puppets that are on the string in individuals and governments to stand against Israel, to hate the Jews, to stand up with terrorists. He said it's insane, doesn't make any sense. That's a deceiver and a liar doesn't make sense. So what you're seeing is a demonic and a satanic control taking over. The original plan, as I understand it, was to take place during Passover this spring. But Iran ordered them to wait. And in that, between that time from Passover to Yom Kippur, what happened was this country, the United States of America, took our money, the taxpayers sent to them, and they sent $6 billion to the nation of Iran. And then they used that $6 billion to finance the attack on Israel. So what's the answer? The gospel. No matter what happens, whether it's noon, the sun's shining, everything's going your way, or it's midnight, you're hurting. Something has just happened, a tragedy, a crisis. The answer is always the same. It's this message of Jesus Christ. When your faith is shaken, when it's tested, that's when you engage it. That's when you apply it. That's when you put it into action with what the words of God are saying. And here's the summary in chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians. He said, moreover, brethren, in this letter of reproof and rebuke for their conduct, he says, let me finish this letter by telling you how important not only the gospel is, but the resurrection of the gospel, that third section of the gospel that is absolutely vital and absolutely impossible to believe with your logical mind. So that's the test of whether you believe the gospel in your mind or in your heart. He says, moreover, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand. That's the foundation, by which also you're saved. If you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you believed in vain. If you never apply the gospel, if you say, okay, the gospel is only for salvation, and then you put it up on the shelf and say, now I want to know more, then all of that has been for nothing. Your salvation has never been used by God to manifest His glory, His presence, and fruit, affecting other people with the gospel message that you have received. Verse 3, because, for I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. So again, please do not limit and narrow the gospel as a means used to be saved when we received and first trusted Christ. The Christian message of the gospel is not confined to only the books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. This is only the apex of the gospel in those four books. When was Christ slain? Revelation 13, verse 8 says, and all that dwell upon earth shall worship Him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Hebrews 1:10 says, and then, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hands. Before Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, the Lord God, in the counsel of His own will, decreed and ordained that the second person of the Godhead would die for our sins. In eternity past, if I can use that oxymoron, before the Lord spoke the universe and time into existence, God provided Himself as the eternal sacrifice that could take away the penalty and power of sin and one day forever remove it into the lake of fire. The gospel message existed before the Lord uttered the words, "Let there be light." The reason for it is explained in the third chapter of Genesis, and is not fulfilled until the end of the 20th chapter of Revelation. In our reading in John 1, verse 1 declares, in the beginning was the Word, capitalized, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And verse 14 said, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 says, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb slain, as of a lamb who is without blemish, without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times. The New Testament made manifest what were shadows to come. The tabernacle, the temple, the ordinances, the priesthood, the sacrifices, the Sabbaths, the feast, the Passover lamb. These were shadows of the gospel. It was there in plain sight to those who had the eyes of faith in order to see it. But in Matthew, it opens by declaring not the generations, but the generation of Jesus Christ in the person of Jesus, the Son of God. And then in our text in 2 Timothy again, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. Stand sure. Ephesians 2:19 says, now, therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. The apostles wrote the New Testament. The prophets wrote the Old Testament, with the Holy Spirit authoring the words of the Word, Jesus Christ. For other foundation, 1 Corinthians 3:11 says, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. From Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, to Revelation chapter 22, verse 21, you have contained Jesus Christ, the Word, and He is the gospel. He is the announcement of who He is and what He's done. Salvation begins with an encounter with the person, Jesus Christ. When we encounter His words moving upon the darkness and the face of the deep that's in our twisted, sinful, separated from God heart. This is a sure foundation. It's a unmovable, solid foundation. It's a rock. It is an anchor for our faith to operate from, regardless of the storm, regardless of the problem, regardless of the crisis. And when the gospel is sung, spoken, or lived out, something happens to the foundation of sin, from the foundation of rebellion against God and separation from God. Something happens to those foundations that lost people are standing on. After the description of Paul and Silas singing in Acts 16, verse 25, verse 26 says, after the prisoners heard Paul and Silas sing praises to God at midnight, it says, and suddenly there was a great earthquake. You ever have an earthquake happen in your life? There was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And it said, immediately were all the doors opened and everyone's bands loosed. That's not what the devil wants. He wants you to frown. He wants you to be unhappy. He wants you to be miserable, hard to get along with, griping, complaining, aggravated, frustrated, so that he can shine the spotlight on you to the prisoners and say, there's the gospel. There's what it means to be saved. Listen to them complain just like you do. And the foundations of the prison are not shaken, and the doors are not opened, and the bonds are not loosed. We have no right to complain. We're already a citizen of heaven. We've been saved. We've been eternally forgiven. We've been given God's Holy Spirit to conform us and to change us into the image of Jesus Christ and to usher us into the presence of God when He takes our soul and our spirit out of our body at what the world calls death and presents us to the throne. And we're going to complain. First Corinthians 15:34 says, "For some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame." There's people that are around us every day at our jobs. There's people we see in stores every day. There's people that we come in contact with. And if you're under 40, I'm speaking of media postings. Because y'all don't talk anymore. You don't even look up from your phone. So you at least have some kind of contact there. So in all of your postings, in all of your texts, in all of your emails, in all of your talk ticks, whatever, snaps and chats and... yeah. There's some that do not have the knowledge of God. And Paul said, "I speak this to your shame." What are you doing? Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, according to his word, according to his will, according to his purpose. That was purpose before the creation took place. In order for us to possess his righteousness and live for him who died for us. Are we doing that? Have you had the earthquake of the gospel shake your foundation and set you free? Need to tell somebody about that. I can just see those prisoners walking out of an open cell, chains no longer on their feet. They go home. I said, "What happened to you? Why aren't you in prison anymore?" "Oh, somebody opened the door." "So what time's the game start?" No. That's not how they'll react. Everybody's going to hear about it from the prison all the way to their house. "Let me tell you what happened to me." Have you not had that happen? Have you never received the gospel? Have you never received this message? By receiving the person of this message, Jesus Christ? Have you never been born again? My dear friend, you will never see heaven unless you do something about that condition. That is an absolute fact and reality. God is not going to save you and you not want it. You're going to have to say, "Lord, I want you. I want this life. And I'm going to turn my back on sin." Repentance. Has that ever happened to you? I don't know what you're waiting on. But if I were you, I wouldn't wait too long. As a matter of fact, I wouldn't even wait till 12 o'clock. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that we have it. Thank you that you've given it to us. You preserved it unchanged to the church through all these generations. Lord, you clearly reveal yourself and what you did on the cross in our place. Lord, you took our sin, you took our guilt, and you paid the price for it. so that we could go free. And not just simply be forgiven, but to receive your righteousness and live for you. So great a salvation, Lord. Lord, I pray this morning, everyone here, everyone that hears my voice, would receive you as Savior if they've never done so. By just simply right now opening their heart, saying, Lord, that's what I want. I want you. And then, Lord, stir them up to tell people what happened. Lord, those of us that have been born again, we've been out of the prison for a long time, but we're acting like we're still in the prison, in chains, behind locked cell doors. Speak to our hearts this morning, Lord. May we take the joy that we received at your salvation off the shelf, dust it off. And may we live that joy out. We have no right to have a bad attitude in front of the world. Not when we've received the joy that comes from knowing you. So Lord, help us to not be ashamed. Help us to not be ashamed when we look into your face. But Lord, help us to live for you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.